Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Star Chamber Show live podcast. It is a great Wednesday evening and we are on episode number 270 and it's going to be a really good one. And tonight I've got a little surprise for you tonight. Earlier we had on our graphic that R.G. Westerman was going to be co-hosting, but it's a little under the weather tonight. Who knows? She might pop in the chat room. You never know. Never know. But the wonderful, amazing Rose Marie Machario agreed to come aboard tonight for co-hosting, and the amazing Daniel Dark is with us, and he even logged in with 4 minutes to spare after getting in from another day of his adventures. So I've got Daniel, I've got Rose, we've got a great guest, and we got a chat room that's filling up already with Carol Preflatish, and RG is in there, and I hope you're feeling a little bit better, RG. I know you're not feeling great, but I hope you're feeling better, and Sandy Linder is in there, and I want to give a shout out at the beginning of the show to one of the people I know is listening tonight, Andy Himmel. Andy Himmel, he is an awesome dude, and found out he's a regular listener of the show. We definitely appreciate that. He's definitely a cool guy, so shout out to him. And so yeah, chat room's open. Let's get underway. How's it going, Rose and Daniel? How are y'all doing?
Hello.
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 It's good to hear you again. So good to hear you again.
I'm here.
Yeah. And yes, and we announced you today for Imaginarium, so it's like a double whammy. So that was coming up today anyway in the midweek, but it kind of worked out that, you know, we actually get to have you on the show tonight. So very glad to have you, and certainly looking forward to actually getting to see you in person soon. And, yeah, getting exciting.
I know. I'm, like, trying not to, like, stare at the calendar.
Oh, believe me, I'm not either.
I'm ready for a vacation.
I'm looking at the clock. It's like, slow down. Don't go fast. Don't go too fast.
Right.
We're still getting a lot done right now, and yeah, poor Holly. We've had some joyous fun on. Yeah, she's having to take care of some things for her family that fell in her lap unexpectedly. So we're at spread thin is probably a very nice way to describe it right now. But we're hanging in there, get it done, and things are still holding together. So yeah, It's an adventure, though. You know how it goes, Rose. Family stuff and creative stuff and work stuff and all of it converging at one time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fun.
Yeah. you're getting about like, you know, whipped cream spread on a balloon with a razor blade, you know.
Something like that. Yeah, that's a good way to describe it. Oh, man. But I love your posts. Your Instagram is so fun. Every day it brings me a smile when I'm frazzled and going through spreadsheets and scheduling literally, you know, a ton of posts in a day. I look over at Instagram and I will see a Daniel Dark post with all the cool stuff you've got there. Those images are awesome. So yeah, definitely everybody should follow you anyway, but yeah, those are definitely cool posts, and love the little historical ones. I love the cigar ones. I love the trolley ones. Yeah, a lot of fun watching your channel over there.
Well, I know a lot of it's about cigars and everything like that, but, you know, try to give a little bit of other things in there. You know, it's just part of me, you know.
Yeah.
And
I know one of those old photos of the 1800s. I thought I saw you walking across the street in one of those photos that you posted. Couldn't be sure, but it might be you. Maybe.
Well, it could have like been my great grandfather.
Yeah. Or, yeah, nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Yeah. It might actually be Daniel Dark, the man himself. But I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. And it's a good midweek time for us to take a break and talk creative stuff and have a little fun. And definitely tonight's guest is the definition of fun because he's completely unpredictable and he's definitely he's very multi-skilled. He's good at every kind of art that he's in, and he's in so many that it's going to be nearly impossible to really cover them all thoroughly. But yeah, he's always up to something. So it's gonna be a lot of fun to talk to our guest tonight. But and he will be coming to Imaginarium too.
I feel so bad I didn't get a chance to cyberstalk him today.
Well, the good news is you get to meet him in person in July, but that's
awesome.
The only hint we'll give. You know, we don't want to give away all the cool stuff. Yeah, but we don't want to give away all the info about him before he actually comes on the air with us in a few minutes. So, but that's awesome. So how have you been, Rose? Because I guess I have not caught up with you in just a little bit while I've been in this maelstrom of convention stuff.
Oh, right. I know you guys have been, like, super busy. I've just kind of been, we've been, film team has been submitting to a bunch of different festivals for my little first film project that I did as a director and coming out, doing that for the first time and writing the script for it and being in it and being your producer. So, but I mean, I couldn't have done it with, my awesome team of two. between Les Murphy and, Rose Fahey. And I'm just so amazed by her, my cinematographer, and she did such a wonderful job on the film. And I know you got to see it because I shared the link with you, but
I'm
currently planning to film the second one, the second part. So I finished up the script and I've kind of been doing some other research and things of that nature because I had this fantastical idea to turn it into a novella. And I've really wanted to, like, a murder mystery type thing. And, it's been on the, writing bucket list. And so I think this is going to give me a real good opportunity to take, the parts that I have written and then just build the story around it. Build up, what happened in the beginning and what happens in the end. And so I'm kind of looking forward to the project, but, baby steps and, let's make this secondary script into a film. So I'm pretty proud of it. There's just been, a lot of things that I've kind of tinkered at it a little bit. But I think I've got it where I want it to be. I so need to, get off my butt and learn this screenwriting format. I'm really horrible about, doing my just rough draft and whatever, and then I'll just pass it on. It's like, can you format this?
Right.
But I really need a new computer. And so, because the one I've got now, it doesn't hold a whole lot. So I don't want to bombard it in with anything else besides my novels. And so, my phone has been, I always write stuff in a notebook first, unless I'm just happen to be somewhere and then the idea starts and all I have is my phone. And so I go into my little notes app and I retype one. The first one is actually started on my phone, but the ideas and different things of that nature and my notes and my research, it's always in notebook. So it's
very cool.
A mess. And then I'm trying to get the hang of doing the things where you draw out the little pictures for your scenes.
And, oh, yeah.
Yeah, you can tell I've never been to school for this. So I don't know anything. Storyboards.
Well,
yeah, I know.
Sometimes you just dive in, you know, and
yeah,
I think you're probably a natural when it comes to storyboards. I mean, because you're a storyteller,
I'm
it's probably not going to be tough for you. Don't worry.
Well, I make an awesome box with some stick figures and.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'd be doing. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, drawing.
But storyboards. Yeah, storyboards are interesting because it's almost like, you know, you're creating a little bit in a way, almost like a comic book for the production.
It's interesting.
And you could almost also,
yeah,
you know, you end up graphing out some shots while you're doing so that you definitely end up actually, you know, doing on set. And, yeah, storyboarding is a lot of fun to go through that process, see that evolve. But, yeah, I mean, I'm like you. I can only do stick figures, so it was always a matter of collaboration for me with somebody that actually could draw. So,
yeah,
but
yeah,
it does work. It's really cool.
Well,
and
right? Yeah,
and we got Matthew Smith in the chat room. We got a very good cinematographer and production wizard, 3D printing expert, Matthew Smith. He also knows Andy Himmel as well, so that's cool. So we got the cool folks brewing in the chat room here. Yeah, we're getting some activity going there tonight. That's a good sign. And but let me go ahead and get our sponsors in for this evening. All right, Sandy, here we go. As you know, last week we had some fun with this portion of the show, so we're going to hold our breath here. But Sandy Lender and Perbostet Publications are our sponsors for the evening. And so I'm going to play you a spot from Sandy Lender, and I really, really hope you all hear it. So, yeah, so say it in the chat room quick, please, if you hear it.
Lloyd Alexander told us, "Fantasy isn't an escape from reality, but is a way of understanding it. Let's tunnel further into understanding, then, with dragons, zombies, Aedras demons, endangered arabesques, and many other fantasy creature stories. Fantasy author Sandy Lender invites you to follow her on the Amazon platform to escape reality alongside her. Sandy is proud to be a sponsor of the Imaginarium Convention. Visit with her at the in-person events or in the virtual exhibit hall July 9th through 11th. We can dive into new understanding there as well."
And yes, Sandy Lender is going to be awesome. It's going to be so cool. I can't wait to see Sandy at Imaginarium. But yeah, definitely you all want to go up to her booth for sure and find out all about her creative worlds. And definitely awesome, awesome author. So, and then also tonight we also have Per Bostet, who will also be there in person. All three of them will be the triumvirate, as I call them, the trifecta, the publishing trifecta. Sarah Marion, who was our guest last week, Marion Allen, and then, of course, the great T. Lee Harris. So here's Per Bostet. Per Bostet Publications is a small press based in the Louisville metro area, specializing in speculative fiction and other outside-the-box books. With over 30 titles in print and ebook formats and a handful of audiobooks, Per Bostet offers a little bit of everything. Explore post-World War II England with 11-year-old Sylvie in Edelweiss for Elizabeth, the sequel to Andrea Gilbey's Bottle Tops for Battleships, or dive into the thrilling world of Karma and Crime, a new supernatural mystery by J. Paul Burroughs. You can find these titles and more at perbostetpublications.com, at Amazon, where you can find the press in person at In Conjunction in Indianapolis and Louisville's Imaginarium Convention in July and Magna Cum Murder in Indianapolis in October. Per Bostet Publications, where timeless tales unfold. And hey, since we actually have the board working tonight, isn't that great, Sandy, when the board works? But we are going to go ahead and play our Imaginarium spot for you since you missed out on that glorious spot last week. So here we go.
Attention fans and creators of all genres. The 8th Annual Imaginarium Convention is coming July 9th through 11th to Louisville, Kentucky. Imaginarium features over 100 panels and workshops for writers, filmmakers, cosplayers, game designers, artists, and more. This year, Imaginarium Convention has both virtual and in-person events, including a film festival, an expo hall, entertainment, the Imagine Awards, and much more. Visit www.entertheimaginarium.com for more information. Enter the Imaginarium.
Gene Rowley always knows how to end a radio spot with flair, right? But I love
that
spot.
Oh, that was awesome.
Yeah, that was Gene from Jumpmaster Press. Yeah, he's a radio guy, definitely, as you can tell from his voice, and he did that for us, and definitely appreciate it, and has a nice energy to it. So I'm glad it works, though, Rose, because last week RG could vouch for me. Yeah, we had quite an adventure. Yeah, with the board locked up, we couldn't get the spots to play, and it was definitely not fun. So. It's like, no.
But yeah, I recognize his voice right off the top.
I had to do a miracle workaround just to get Sarah Marion onto the show, and we managed to do it. But you know how it goes, Rose, when you're doing live events. It's sometimes you have those days, but we did get her on, and it ended up being a good show, thank God. But yeah, earlier, it was definitely a challenge. RG was a hero that night because she was like talking with everybody, keeping the energy going, doing like some trivia stuff while I was frantically working on the other end trying to solve a tech workaround just to get Sarah onto the show. And it was, the joys. Good thing that this is an audio show, so you didn't see how frazzled I might have looked right then. But yeah, as it came off, it worked. So. But thankfully tonight everything is playing very well and straightforward, which is good. So hopefully,
So where is our guest tonight at? Do we have a guest yet?
We do have a guest. I'm hoping our guest calls in because I double-checked, not more than an hour or two ago, and our guest definitely knows the time to call in and definitely has the number. I can confirm that with absolute certainty. So we're waiting. And I do have my message windows up, so if our guest was having trouble calling in, I do have the channel open to see if that happens, but not have any warning signals there. So hopefully we'll get a phone call from our guest any second tonight, and so we'll see. So right now it's just the three of us here in our awesome chat room, and Amy McCorkle has called in, and I see that Sandy has met Matthew virtually in the chat room. Yeah, you guys will get to hang out at Imaginarium because Matthew will be there as well, and has actually been on some of the film programming and panels and on that side. So that's glad you all are meeting already in the chat room here. Good banter tonight. Yeah, Clayton, I don't think our resident curmudgeon, Clayton, will be in the chat room tonight. He comes up in a little trouble. I'll just leave it at that this afternoon, so while he was writing. So, But I don't think he'll be checking in with us tonight. So y'all are safe in the chat room. Y'all are safe. Oh, man. Too fun.
I don't know. If the Huff comes in there, they might not be safe.
Well, the Huff, that's a whole other ball game. He's been crushing it in the fishing front. I swear that guy cracks me up. He went fishing today, I guess, and he I guess it's a relative of his caught 18 bass. 18, and yes, you heard me right. But Huff is a, I don't think a lot of people realize, but he's actually a pro level fisherman. Yeah, he's actually professional level and has done, pro fishing journalism and all kinds of stuff. So he's really, really good at that. And so, when he always gets pictures too to prove what he says. But he had a very successful day out on the water, and the Hoff is, he's a character. Yeah, he's definitely somebody you want to meet. Imaginarium, he'll be hanging out probably a lot with the folk, our good friends at Hydra Publications, and he's one of the Hydra authors, and definitely a fun guy. You've been on the show a few times here. Some of you may remember those shows, but yeah, he's a great guest, really sharp and fun panelist and just fun guy overall. So you know how the Hoff is, Daniel. You can vouch for him.
Yeah, that's awesome. He's a great guy and thing, but he can get overboard sometimes.
that's an understatement. That's the unpredictable side of the Hoff, but yeah, we know him well, so we'll keep a close eye on him, make sure he doesn't get in too much trouble. Oh, it's too funny.
Yeah, we've seen him get go overboard, almost drown.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, he didn't. Yeah, but yeah, he has some fun when he's among his creative peers. He definitely relaxes and has fun, and sometimes, yeah, you can have too much fun. that's when it gets dangerous, but that's why I'm always very, very careful, even when I'm among all of my good friends and author friends and everything, that during Imaginarium, I always say, not till Sunday night do I relax. Then after everything is shut down, done, we're closed for the day, on the weekend, and then I will have a little fun on that evening. But yeah, before then, yeah, I'll leave that to the Hoff before then. Oh, he's a character. Too funny. Oh,
have you figured out how to clone me yet?
I wish I had. Yeah, if I had my father's acumen in science, because he was a world class cancer researcher. That's not a understatement. He really was, and he would know how to do that. And unfortunately, I can't access his knowledge directly because we're kind of separated by dimensions right now. Fortunately, he passed a few years ago. But I took the creative path, so unfortunately I did not gain the scientific acumen necessary to clone you just yet. But if I find somebody that can do so, then I will. Because yeah, we have to find a way to definitely keep a Daniel Dark always around at Imaginarium. But yeah, I know you have a lot going on. But I think Holly said you're going to be checking in on a few. Work or panels or workshops virtually, at least, right?
Yeah, I'm gonna try to do that. So.
Cool.
Yeah, but I'm booked Friday and almost all day Saturday. So.
Yeah. Well, that was a massive event on your end for your trolley and everything. So I mean, yeah, there's no way that you could pass that up, and certainly, yeah, we know that. So we're glad you could. At least, dive in on the other side of things, though. And that's the glory of, I think, having a virtual side to it, is that, even in a situation like this, if we just had the physical event, you would not have even been able to participate. But thankfully, we do have the virtual side. So, yeah, you can come in and still participate, and people could still see you and interact with you. And that's great, So, I mean, that actually demonstrates, I think, the great utility of having the virtual side. So we're glad.
Yeah,
we definitely are.
We've got people that are participating from all over the world that would never have a chance to participate otherwise.
That's true. And we are getting some people in. And the funny thing is we're even getting people at the physical event that are from all over the world because, we had Simon Kledke. He lives in Chile and, originally from Germany. But, yeah, he's coming all the way here in person. So, yeah, it's funny. We even have, folks in the in-person side that are from around the world. But definitely going to see, more international.
From Germany, Steve. Germans travel everywhere.
Germans are, yeah. Yeah, for better or for worse sometimes historically, but oh Lord. But yeah, they get out and around for sure. But Simon is a great guy, and I can't wait. I'm just chuckling because we have a really good rapport with him now, and he's just has such a cool personality, and really looking forward to see him. He actually sent us some of his novels after the radio appearance here. And I've actually got a copy of his fantasy novel that he's talking about on the show that night, and definitely try to read it. Yeah, it's not a like a George R. R. Martin sized book, so I think I might actually get to read and finish it before Imaginarium, because I'm getting very sporadic on any time available for reading, but I definitely am trying to keep on the ball game there. So I'm going to try to read it before Imaginarium, and definitely I'll bring it for him to sign it, of course. But yeah, Holly and I both have a copy. We each have a copy. So that's really cool. Nice book. Turned out beautiful too. Really nice job on the publisher side. They did a very good job. And we're looking forward to that. And yeah, the international thing got a boost this week. I don't know if you saw Daniel, but cryptocurrency kind of geeks like me. I just love the technology, blockchain technology. I think it represents some wonderful things for the future for the most people. It has amazing utility and potential, used the right way. But we actually became the first convention for writers and creatives to partner with BitPay, and BitPay is the biggest cryptocurrency processing payment group out there. They're kind of like the PayPal for cryptocurrency, and they work with massive names. I mean, I'm talking like Microsoft, social media platform Twitch, Dallas Mavericks, Oakland A's. I mean, these are the kind of clients they're working with for that kind of thing, for accepting like Dogecoin, Bitcoin, Ethereum, things like that. And it took me about 2.5 months. It was like quite the process for the application, the vetting, and the paperwork, and all the good stuff that takes place behind the scenes. But we actually got approved, a little less, and right alongside all these giants. But we became the first publisher, convention of our kind to partner with BitPay and to accept cryptocurrencies. And that might not be a big thing for the American audience necessarily, but when it comes to foreign transactions, it makes it a breeze. So people that are wanting to participate, from internationally, it makes it very easy to make payments. It doesn't have to go through as much of a rigmarole in the processing. It's very, very fast and straightforward when you're just using straight up cryptocurrency. And it actually will, I think, help on the virtual side with international participation. But it is a cool thing to actually be able to say, hey, we're the first. it's newsworthy. So I know some people are, oh my God, what are they doing?
You can pay me in one Bitcoin a year and everything. That'll be fine.
Yeah. No kidding. Even on the dip, yeah, Bitcoin is would be glorious to have one. I have a funny anecdote on that. I do want to talk about cryptocurrency sometime for creatives, because I think it does open up a whole new sphere for creatives, in those international markets and all kinds of ways. I think it's definitely a very fast growing sector. I do know of a story once where a guy was offered, this is like 10 years ago or so, probably about 10 years ago, but he was offered 150 Bitcoin or $150 to help a guy with a website. 150 Bitcoin or $150. He took the $150. Even today, if he would have $6 million worth of Bitcoin if he had taken the 150 Bitcoin. Because Bitcoin, right now is about $40,000 a coin. So it's, oh, man, that's one of those kind of stories where, that guy's probably just like, it has indigestion for life over that.
Do you know what the first purpose of Bitcoin was?
The first purpose of Bitcoin?
Purchase.
It's got, purchase. No, I don't. Actually, I do not know that.
It was for 2 pepperoni pizzas. And it cost like 20 bit or 200 Bitcoin or something like that.
Wow. Wow. I mean, no doubt. And when it's used in a transactional sense. And we have mentioned a little bit. I mean, some of the coins out there are very well suited for being currency, like actual transactional type things. That's why the Mavericks, Oakland A's, and others love Dogecoin, for instance, because it is very well suited for transactions. Something like Bitcoin is a different beast because it's more of a store of value at the moment. However, I have seen some new reports that they're going to be developing some new stuff with Bitcoin may change that a little bit as far as making it more transactional. And in El Salvador, actually, the country of El Salvador actually just made it like legal tender. It's a legal tender option last week. So Bitcoin is actual legal tender in El Salvador, which I thought was fascinating too. I mean, it's a whole new frontier.
You can go in and buy a new Tesla with Bitcoin.
Almost. You could. And then Elon said that he didn't like the energy it required to mine Bitcoin, so they froze accepting it. But it sounds to me like Elon is going to open up soon and start accepting it again. There were some signals from Tesla that they're going to do that. You will be able to buy a Tesla with Bitcoin. And I'm pretty sure that Elon's going to add Dogecoin in the mix too, and maybe a couple others like Cardano or Ethereum, some of the others. So it's going to be interesting. But for creatives, I mean, for us, for filmmakers, for all of us, I mean, the blockchain stuff is great, and it's a very secure, a lot of them are very secure. I mean, the ones that are established, I mean, yeah, there's definitely some what they call pump and dump coins, some really, ones that are kind of murky and sketchy. But I'm talking about the ones that are really well established, the Ethereums, Cardanos, Dogecoin, Bitcoin, things like that, Ripple even, some of the ones that are rising that look really good are VeChain, BitTorrent, some of those.
Really good.
Yeah, they're good. There's a lot of good ones, and they have very good teams behind them. They're very solid. They're very, they have different utility. I mean, it's fascinating to read about what they're using various ones for. Like VeChain is used for supply chains companies. VeChain is being used in that kind of environment. BitTorrent, of course, you've all heard of, the file sharing stuff, BitTorrent. There's a lot of, Binance, it's tied to their exchange, it's associated with their exchange. I mean, it's really interesting to see all the different, kind of use, associations and uses of the various coins. It's going to be neat to see how it evolves. And it gives us as creatives another possible, revenue stream, to open up. And especially if you get in some that, have a little bit of an uptick to them so that, maybe you sell some stuff and it goes up, if you decide to hold it as the coin. Now, the thing I've been asked the most, and I will say this up front, people are like, oh, my God, if you accept this stuff, the market's so volatile. But the way BitPay works, it's like a U.S. dollar sale amount right at the point of sale. And we've got it structured so that, it's going to be delivered to us as a U.S. dollar amount pretty much right away because, we're not in a position to be like Tesla and have a dedicated Bitcoin holding or something like that. So no, it's not going to work quite like that. But it just means that we can accept it and it'll be the amount in U.S. dollar, a U.S. dollar sale. But no, we won't be vulnerable to the market volatility right now.
That would be a good thing, Stephen, because if you think about it, if you're a creative that does not need the money today, and you could sit there and leave that in there for 5 years,
exactly.
Look at what happened to actual Bitcoin in a 5-year period of time.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And
it went from like $1,000 to at one time $57,000.
Mm-hmm.
For one coin.
Yeah, it did. Right.
You know, so
and let's look at Ethereum
or something that you sold for say $20 and you got coin for it. You know, you got cryptocurrency for it. And that cryptocurrency over 5 years goes up, you know, 3,000%.
Mm-hmm.
You just got a good amount for your book.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you did. If you can hang on to it. And have you messed around with cryptocurrency at all, Rose? Do you have any interest in it whatsoever yet?
I have no idea what it is, what it amounts to. I have no clue.
Well, then
I've
you will be perfect.
I've seen advertisements for it, so.
Oh yeah, a lot of people are at that point, and but Imaginarium, I'm working on getting one of the bigger YouTubers in crypto to do a kind of an overview session on cryptocurrency, a basic session, kind of like a what it is. Mm-hmm. You know, how can creatives use it? How can filmmakers, you know, and authors and everybody make use of it? What's pros, what's cons about it? And trying to get that set up right now. So I can't say who I'm talking with because they are pretty big folks, but they actually are talking with me, and they think it's amazingly cool that Imaginarium accepts it. So who knows? Maybe we'll get one of them to come aboard. So. But we will have at least one cryptocurrency session on the virtual side to kind of give people a kind of like a 101. And the more I look, have studied it and gotten into it, I think it's amazing. I mean, it's just a really good, interesting world. The two technologies I think I love for creatives right now, love it. And then just for individuals as a whole, are cryptocurrencies and 3D printing. And I know in the chat room, I know Matt is probably going, yeah, because he's a big into 3D printing. But I find 3D printing technology just amazing when it comes to making props for films, when it comes to making, components for tabletop gaming. All kinds of applications, 3D printing for all kinds of creatives. And so I think those two technologies to me are just awesome for indies especially. And so, yeah,
well,
I've got big interest in this stuff.
Crypto is, say you're needing to pay somebody. If you don't want to send a physical check or something like that, you can send them crypto, and instead of like doing a Western Union where they would go and get, you know, the money and everything, and you spend $30 to $50, whatever Western Union maximum is at now, that you can only send like $500, period. You can send as much crypto as you need to somebody.
Yeah.
And it'll cost like a few pennies.
Oh yeah, it's so much easier.
But how do you change it to cash? You know, I mean, because
exchanges
don't accept it.
They actually won't accept it. They actually do. They're coming up with new types of credit card like cards. That on like crypto.com and others where you can actually take it into stores and it just kind of converts over on the spot into USD for the purchase. And so, yes, they are developing cards that you can use. They're like debit and credit cards. So you can use your crypto at the grocery store or anywhere, like a regular debit or credit card, and it'll just take the cryptocurrency from your wallet, and that's where you store your cryptocurrency, your digital wallet, and it will convert it over to U.S. dollars for the payment. And so, yes, they are developing that stuff, and it's definitely going to – that's going to, you know, I think catch on a little bit more as people start using it more. But you convert it into dollars on the exchanges, the Coinbases and, you know, Gemini or Kraken or any of the big, huge exchanges that are out there right now. And, yeah, you can, you know, convert it over to dollars, sell it at whatever the market rate is at the moment, immediately have it in dollars, and then just take it straight into your bank account. So yeah, it's doable. I mean, it's definitely doable, and it's only gonna, I think, improve. But a lot
you
more business
is you want to look and see what the fees are going to be, because
yeah,
they
some of them are higher, some are lower. Yeah, yeah. Some have really low fees. Like Dogecoin has tiny, tiny fees. I mean, it is awesome. I mean, how cheap it is to use Dogecoin for transactions, whereas something like Ethereum tends to have a little bit higher fees, much higher fees than Dogecoin, for instance. And that's just one example.
Yeah,
but the other thing behind that,
Stephen, is like the platform, whoever you're using as your platform, they have fees that one of them and everything, it may be $30 to get set up.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're only putting in, you know, $100, they took $30 of it, and they may have a fee of $30 every time you make a transaction. But some of them are, you know, minute fees like Dogecoin, you know, where it's only
right,
you know, a few pennies,
right,
or you know,
yeah,
thousands of dollars worth of transactions.
Yeah, yeah, and then also there are more and more businesses that are actually taking a straight wallet payment. So if you have it and you're using like you know, the right apps, you actually just send it right into their wallet straight up. You know, as you know, there's pizza. Even I love watching the companies are doing it now. There's a pizza place. I was watching the other day. It's doing it. Yeah, you can go right in, just send the stuff right into their wallet. Boom, buy a pizza. And so yeah, that's going to expand, and it's only beginning right now. And you know, there's always going to be, you know, some changes. I mean, I'm sure they're going to get a little more regulated by the government as time goes on and things like that. But that's kind of par for the course. But you're right. I mean, the fees do vary on different ones. So you always want to make sure you look into that. But you know, as time goes on, though, it'll be good for I think authors and filmmakers and game developers and all of us, you know, to have that option at least. And companies like BitPay are simplifying it to the point where it works like a PayPal, where you can embed buttons in your website, where you can use an app on your phone, just like Square or PayPal, and you can take those payments, I mean, on site, in person. And so the easier it gets to use that kind of stuff, I think the more people are going to use it in the creative world. And that's kind of exciting. And like Daniel said, you know, if you do keep it in the coin format, like you get paid in Ethereum and then just decide, hey, I'm going to hang on to it in Ethereum, there's always the chance that the market will surge. And, you know, who knows, maybe that what was that $15 book sale may end up netting you $500 in a couple of years overall, because the market went up so crazy. And but you know, but then the downside, that's also possible too. You know, it could go down. But I think there's, you know, I think there's a great upside, and it's definitely interesting. It's definitely a new frontier.
If you've got money to invest, right now is the time to invest in crypto.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's on a 4-year cycle, and this is the fourth year. And it has been going up.
Yeah.
Every four, you know, that surge hits it every 4 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, like people that took their stimulus check and put it straight into like Bitcoin, they were saying that, you know, they would have, you know, instead of the $1,200, they would have, you know, like a certain number of thousands of dollars when it went up to like 57,000.
Right.
From where it was when the stimulus checks came out.
Right. Oh, yeah. There's some people actually became millionaires this past year that actually took their stimulus checks and just put it all in this, you know, certain coins, and then they shot up, and they, it worked out. but again, you know, and make it clear, and I have to state this, you know, that we're not giving financial advice. We are not financial advisors. We're not, yeah, this is just, you know, we're just kind of bantering about
this
the market in general. Yeah, pure speculation. You know, you make your own choices and do your own research. You know, we're not giving you advice, just to be absolutely clear about that. But there are cycles that are very interesting to watch, and Bitcoin is, of course, the monster in the field, and the other coins, what they call the altcoins, kind of flow, you know, kind of in a general nature where Bitcoin, you know, whether Bitcoin's going up or down. So the recent big dip with Bitcoin, you know, kind of pulled down a lot on the other, what they call altcoins. But it's, yeah, it's definitely a great frontier, and you know, people, you know, there's some people who have made quite a bit of money. I mean, yeah, it definitely is offers a little bit of hope, I guess, in some ways. You know, but yeah, it could be, you know, also kind of dangerous too.
I do know that it's one, you know, crypto is one step closer to, you know, an all-world currency than anything else that they've tried.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that is something that's, you know, got its pluses and minuses, because say you pay something in Bitcoin or crypto in Argentina or someplace like that.
Right.
And their dollar rates would be totally different than what it is in the United States. But they're, you know, the crypto is going to be the same no matter whether they're in Argentina or Italy.
That's a good point. Yeah, it's a universal global, you know, it's at that rate. Yeah, it's definitely that's a good point. Yeah, no matter where you're at, you know, it's going to be at that market rate. And I think, you know, volatility, you know, will settle a little bit with some of the major coins as you know, they kind of get more established and more widespread use and all that kind of thing. So, yes, Rose, it is coming. it is something where one day you'll have a swiper on your table that'll take somebody's Ethereum to buy a copy of your book or a autographed 8x10, and it'll work just like PayPal or you know, Square or any of those, but not something to be terrified of. But if you do get into this sort of thing, and you know, new technology and stuff, it is a fun field.
And personally, I think that it, you know, Square and those places, if they don't get on it, they'll be losing out. They will.
PayPal is. Yeah, PayPal,
you know,
is
still taking in dollar or crypto, depending on, you know, how somebody wants to pay it.
Yeah, PayPal is integrating more crypto into the PayPal system. And, you know, where I think you can, I don't know all the coins you can buy through PayPal now, but I know they have been bringing it in. So, I mean, you're going to see this more and more and more. I mean, this is, you know, we're kind of at the forefront of it right now. And right now sounds kind of exotic and kind of wild, you know, to a lot of people out there. And I know some filmmakers and authors are out there going, whoo, you know, that's a, sounds crazy, Stephen, but it is going to be more commonplace, you know, with every day, you know, more people come into it, and it's used by more. And I mean, I watch BitPay's announcements and others. And I mean, literally every day, I mean, they are announcing new companies that are accepting it. And I'm not talking about small companies. I'm talking like Newegg, you know, major computer component retailer online. You know, if you're building a computer system, a gaming system or something, Newegg, you know,
well,
Newegg.
Think about this.
Precious Metals Exchange.
Do you think Elon Musk and Mark Cuban and all those people would be investing in something like that if they didn't think that it was good?
Nope, not at all. And there's many billionaires that are getting into it, and that, you know, again, that puts some danger into the mix as far as how the market flows, because those guys have the clout to kind of move it a little bit with their reputations. But it's definitely a place where you're going to get more of that institutional investment. You know, it's starting to come over now. More of the folks from the stock and bond world are starting to come into crypto. More of your, you know, stock and bond kind of places
are
advising.
Insurance companies are coming into it.
Yeah, they want their people to have it in portfolios. It's definitely coming into the mix. And that's why I think you're going to see a little bit of regulation come in from the government side as that side comes into it, the institutional investors. But again, you know, it's going to be making it a little more streamlined, I think, and it's going to get easier for everybody to be using it. And that's where, you know, I think the filmmakers and game people and authors and publishers and everybody else need to be paying attention to it at least. Because, you know, it is something that, you know, I think you need to be aware of and definitely need to, you know, not necessarily rush out and integrate it right now. I don't think you have to, but it's something you have to kind of look at. It's something that's coming around the corner, and it's not a bad thing to get aboard now, I think, as far as, accepting, you know, cryptocurrency payment or something like that through something like BitPay. Because they have a very, very cool system. I mean, it's very PayPal-esque is the best way I can describe it in the way it kind of works. And, but it's it was definitely not the easiest thing to get approved. I went through, like I said, about 2.5 months. But hey, we made it. And so we're hopefully going to see some growth there. Who knows? But definitely the community's... and they got their little fan clubs too. That's a fun thing. The Dogecoin community is definitely the most fun, I think, by far. I mean, they are just great personalities, fun people, and really upbeat. I mean, they have their slogan: "Do only good every day, Doge," and that's the slogan. And I mean, really good folks. And so I'm naturally drawn to that particular coin. It's really, it resonates with me. Those kind of people resonate with me. I love them. They're kind of underdogs, very much seen as underdogs, and they keep proving the experts wrong. I love those. I mean, it's just everything about it. I just love that community. But they all have their fan communities, and it's kind of fun to kind of get a sense for all the different ones. And then if you accept their currency, the fans of those communities will really get excited and kind of, you know, give you a little extra support. So you actually do at this stage, like Daniel said, this is early. It's a, you know, early phase kind of thing. So you actually do get the benefit of having a little bit of marketing and promotion done for you by the various communities, just because they're excited that you're aboard and you're taking their, you know, their particular favorite cryptocurrency or whatever. It's really neat. So I certainly don't mind, you know, like I said, if we get a little more Imaginarium awareness because we offer Dogecoin, you know, I mean, I think that can only help the convention. And then, you know, as we integrate it with Seven Star Press, I think that'll be pretty awesome too. But the fans
accept it because, you know, I would accept it in a heartbeat, you know, in my trolley. If Square would accept it, you know, pay me in crypto.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I would hold some of it. I may cash in some of it to keep the business rolling and everything, but I would, you know, there'd be a certain percentage of it that I would just hold. just for my retirement, my, you know, everything else.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And that's a really good way to think about it. You know, for all of us authors, you know, we're not, you know, if we're doing this as careers, you know, it's not like we're getting a 401k, you know, we're not getting, you know, that kind of security, you know, it's a bit of a riskier path to take, you know, if you're a, you know, trying to do this as a living. And so, yeah, having an option like that, that potentially could build you a retirement account, a nest egg, something like that. I mean, that's awesome for authors and filmmakers. I mean, I think that's great. And so I'd advise you, Daniel, just to go to bitpay.com and get your paperwork in and at least get, you know, get an account there, you know, so that when you feel comfortable in using it, you know, you could accept that stuff. I mean, it's definitely I can't see anything wrong with at least having that option. And you're right, you know, if you know it well enough, you feel confident enough, and you make your own research and judgments. I mean, yeah, you might decide to hold on to some of it in original format, and, you know, keep it in a wallet and just let it percolate over the years and go through all the dips and the rises and overall, you know, like Daniel said, you know, the cycles have shown a lot of upward climb overall over the longer time periods. So it's worth looking at, creatives. Yeah, don't underestimate this new thing. You know, it's new things aren't always bad. Carol said that she will sell one signed book for one Bitcoin. I think that if we could pull that off, Carol, we would definitely have a lot less worry in our worlds if we can pull that off. That would be awesome. And let's see here. Daniel, I'm going to pass along what we want to see here in the chat, because they're having some good discussion on what we're talking about here. She's already put her inventory. So what Daniel and Steven are saying makes sense. Why not sell a book with cryptocurrency and hold onto the stuff for a decade or two? Yeah, you know, and not necessarily a decade. I mean, even 2 to 4 years or something like that. You know, like Daniel's saying, you know, but it's been about a few year cycle on, you know, if you look at the overall market. And if we could get a Bitcoin per book, Rose and Daniel, we would be golden right now.
If you find the person that wants to buy signed copies for, you know, one Bitcoin a book, let me know who that person is. I'll sell them as many copies as they want.
It might be Kenzie Michael. She just made a comment. I have an extra one, Sandy. Let's see. You have an extra Bitcoin? Is that what you're saying, Kenzie? Extra Bitcoin lying in your digital wallet there? Oh, and I ordered my chip reader. Another one came. Okay, she's talking about chip readers. I thought she might have had an extra Bitcoin. I was like, oh, wow. You're doing all right there then, Kenzie. Yeah, last I checked on the market, yeah, they're sitting just over 40 grand per Bitcoin. So, yeah, that wouldn't be too bad.
What was it? Let's see, yesterday it was 43.
Yeah, it's
or
been
40. It was inching back up again. And it dropped low, you know, dropped to the lowest point in a long time. And it's going back on the climb again. And
it falls down to the low 30s. It falls to the low 30s.
They're saying that it'll get over 100,000 by the end of the year.
That's what a lot of people say. And you don't know. You just don't know. I mean, because Dogecoin was selling in January for fractions of a penny. You know, and now it's in the, you know, low 30 cents kind of range, 32 cents, 33 cents. You know, do the percentage on that. You know, it was not even a half a penny, you know, way back in January. And, you calculate the percentage increase between that and, you know, 30-some cents. And it's, I mean,
and
you can't get those kind of gains
the
in the stock market,
like,
usually.
You've got that, and then you've got, like, Dogecoin that was put out as just a joke that, you know, started out at like 0.006 cents for each one of them. And now it's like right at 30 cents. But the thing about theirs is they make another, what, 50,000 or something like that every year. So it'll never get to like a Bitcoin type status.
No. Yeah, Doge
because is, Bitcoin is capped.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And
yeah, 21,
not,
a little over 21 million coins, and it's a hard cap. So it's, yeah, when they're done, unless they, you know, change it. You know, they can always make a decision to grow it more. But as it stands now, yeah, it's a hard cap. And Dogecoin has what's called fixed issuance. And you'll hear a lot of people say, oh, Doge is unlimited with new coins. No, they have a hard cap on the number of new coins that are allowed to be issued each year for miners. And so what that does is every single year, the percentage of new coins as opposed to what exists actually goes down. So it's actually a controlled deflation. It actually could, it's not inflation. Yeah, because actually it's a smaller and smaller percentage of the overall coins. Are released each year in even Doge. So it's called fixed issuance. So no, it's not like unlimited. But you're right. Yeah. Larger number of coins, and new coins being mined each year, rewarding the miners that are involved, which is good. If you're using it as transactions, that makes it Dogecoin actually better to actually use for day-to-day spending. I mean, things like Rose is talking about, you know, going to the store, using it for a pizza, doing this, doing that, buying tickets from the Dallas Mavericks, buying some computer stuff at Newegg, buying, a booth at Imaginarium or something like that. Yeah, it's actually better, whereas Bitcoin is more of like kind of like digital gold. You know, you get it, hold it as a store of value and, you know, just, you know, decide when or if to sell it at some point, opposed to actually using it to buy something with that Bitcoin. So yeah, they're different.
Right.
I mean, all the coins are different. So it's a, but hopefully that makes sense. Cause that's about as I'm trying to, simplify as much as I can, but that hopefully that
and
makes
had,
a little bit
I've
of sense.
I've had people question me about like the, security of it and stuff like that. Well, you have people around the world that are storing data, these miners and everything, they're storing data on these coins constantly.
Right.
And it's not stored in just one place. It's multiple stored in all these different places. And if somebody hacks one of them, it's got to go through all of it to be able to be hacked, actually. Where, like, if you've got something at your local bank, and the bank gets hacked, you might have just lost all your money.
Right. No, it's extremely difficult. And, I mean, there's some theoretical stuff about, you know, hacking of a possible cryptocurrency, but you'd have to have, like almost like quantum computer-level stuff to really have a shot at something like that. I mean, it's really pretty outrageous the level it has to get to get there. So yeah, I mean, it's much more secure than like, something like you're talking about, like somewhere somebody hacks into, you know, a bank or something like that. Yeah, this is infinitely harder to do. And so, that's a good thing. It's, like some of the exchanges there's been some exchanges that have had gaps and been hacked before, but that's not the coin. You know, you're talking about the exchange that's been hacked. Yeah, the coin itself hasn't been. Nothing is 100%, you know, Teflon, you know, adamantium, foolproof, indestructible, but it's definitely leagues more secure than a lot of other things that we use every single day and pretty much take for granted that it's safe. This is much more complicated. So,
well,
yeah,
from what I read on it and everything, like Bitcoin, it just take that one, it's got more security than the national government.
Yeah. Aha. Uh-huh.
You know,
hey, we finally have our guest called in. Finally. So let me get them on here, folks. Yeah, we had a heck of a cryptocurrency discussion. I hope that was interesting and illuminating for you guys. Like I said, I'm trying to give a basic overview, trying to give you the value of it for creatives. But, our guest has just called in, so I want to get him aboard right now. Of course, one of our favorite people around, definitely a spotlighted guest, Imaginarium, going to be giving a musical performance on the opening night. He is, drum roll, a poet, an artist, a musician, a filmmaker, and just so many other things creatively. The one, the only, Jason William Allen. Welcome to the show, sir.
What's going on, guys? I'm sorry I'm late. Messed up night. Long story. But I'm here.
We'll get the story later. We make sure you get the chance to visit with everybody, and I'll get the lowdown on what happened later. We know life happens. Believe me, I live according to Murphy's Law, so I get it. But you're here. Glad to have you, and stoked to have you coming aboard Imaginarium. And I know Rose, Daniel, and I, all three of us, definitely looking forward to what kind of fun we're going to have, because you're going to have a booth there. You're going to be performing on the Friday evening, night one, and musically. And so people are going to get a chance to see your artwork, your film work, and actually see you perform music. So, I mean, you are multifaceted. So, yeah, tell us a little bit about what to look forward to, because this is kind of like you're coming back out again after we all got locked down 2020. So this is kind of like your coming out party.
Oh, yeah, this will be the first thing that I've done since all that. When the pandemic hit, like, we were supposed to have a show the day that everything shut down. And that's when we did, like, our first live stream concert or whatever that night. But
First band in the country to actually do that, too. First band.
Yeah.
Pretty much the first band in the country to do that. So, yeah, kudos.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
It was. I didn't know it would catch on like wildfire. I knew it was a good idea, but I didn't know everybody was going to do it. But with everything that happened the past year, pulling the whole band, Poetry of the Dead, together for a show like Imaginarium, I tried, I really did, but to fail. But this will be another side of me that a lot of people don't get a chance to see, which is the acoustic side. And I will have two of the members of Poetry, a drummer will be on percussion, and then I have my lead guitar player with me. And we wanted to do a very intimate set, more of a storytelling, singer-songwriter kind of deal. So that's what's going to go on with that. I got a couple of new art pieces that I'll have displayed at the booth, and hopefully I'll be on a whole bunch of panels. So, I look forward to this. This will be the third year doing it. In the past 2 years, even when it was virtual last year, I really, really believe in this con, and I really enjoy what I get to do at it. Like last year, I mean, I did it from the comfort of my own home, but I still had a blast, doing the Zoom calls or whatever. So hopefully everybody come out, and we won't let you down with the acoustic performance. It'll still be good. It'll still be entertaining. A little bit of comedy in there, with the storytelling and stuff like that. And hopefully, people can ask questions and find out more of, what's in my head or what the songs are about and everything.
Well,
do you
have
new
album? This event? Oh, yeah.
What now?
Do you have a new album that you're going to be bringing to this event?
Oh, no, not at this event. With the pandemic, once again, we were working on a new album, but not being able to go to the studio and work on that album, it'll probably be pushed back because it's about another year or so worth of work that I have to do on it. Everything got set back, just like with everybody else in their lives. So I was hoping to, but unfortunately, because of the events of 2020, that didn't happen either. So,
yeah, but it's got to be cool to at least look forward to playing in front of like people who are going to be in front of you again, even more, I know even playing, playing for like a, you know, a virtual event is, you know, one thing, but actually getting to feed off an audience is another thing entirely. So even that, I mean, it's got to be something that you're looking forward to after we've all been locked up a year.
Oh yeah. I actually went a couple times within the past, month or so. I actually did something that I hadn't done in my 21 years of doing music, which is do an open mic. And it was very, very weird, and nobody knew about it. So I was playing in front of, like, nobody I knew. You know, no normal fans, no friends, nothing like that. And I just went up there and put my name on a list. And not a lot of people knew me or anything, but the whole crowd really, really enjoyed it and everything. And it was kind of like a step back to getting back to performing, I guess. So knock some dust off and all that good stuff.
Haha, tuning up. That's nice. No pun intended.
Mm-hmm.
But that was off the cuff there. But definitely. It's gonna be interesting. You know, even on the convention front. You know, because it's been over, well over a year, you know, since, you know, even conventions, you know, we're live, and now you're starting to see a few, like we mentioned In Conjunction in Indianapolis earlier, taking place on the 4th of July weekend, where Per Bastet's going to be there, but they're another one that's doing a live version, and it seems like July, August, September, I see a lot of places that are resuming fully live formats again, and that's great. And we knew that our zone was about right for the resumption of them, so we stuck to our guns and committed to doing a live version alongside a virtual version, and we're going to keep it because it's great. You know, we get to accept international guests, a lot of people that can't travel here. I mean, the virtual side is great for that. You know, we got tons of content, and we want people to be able to access it, so that's wonderful. And so, yeah, going forward, we actually want to keep this format, but you know, it is wonderful to finally gather live, and like you said, you know, for somebody like you, it's multifaceted. I mean, yeah, you get to come perform, you get to, you know, showcase, you know, some visual stuff, video, film. You get to, you know, exhibit in the expo. You get to, you know, participate in panels. I mean, it's, yeah, you're definitely going to be able to jump in the deep end of the pool again. you won't be idle that weekend.
Yeah, Imagine Air was one of the only events that I've seen, and I'm sure there's probably more, but I don't know, but that I've actually seen promoting the fact that it is an in-person and virtual event. And mm-hmm. I think you're going to see a lot more of that, I think, this past year. And I've been saying it for years that, you know, virtual is the way to go, and with, like, the bands doing the virtual concerts, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're going to see a lot more of that, especially with, like, the big festival, music festivals and everything. They're going to stream that live mm-hmm. because, just like you said, there are a lot of people internationally that can't travel to see these things or take part in these things, and they can in some way. So I think that it in some ways, to take a positive from it to the entertainment world, 2020 actually, I think, opened a lot of people's eyes to a lot of what can actually be done virtually. Because I've been saying for years, you know, if it's not on your phone, it doesn't matter. You know, if it's not on your mm-hmm. computer, it doesn't matter. Because us as a society has evolved to a point where that's just where our life exists, whether we like it or not, or whether we agree with it or not. That is how it is. And mm-hmm. it's so many more people that you can reach. It's so many more people that filmmakers, authors, everyone can reach. You got to think of how much we all rely on the internet and virtual interactions at this point with, what Zoom is now. Zoom calls are a household name. FaceTiming is a household name. It a year ago it was there, but it was never as popular as it is for the past year. So, and I think if done right, it's a good tool for anyone that is in the arts or in the creative realm to partake in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I've done more Zoom calls this last year than I ever thought that I would.
I got a Zoom meeting tomorrow with Chaotic Cat Entertainment about some stuff that they're wanting to work on with me and everything. So and it's like, well, why don't we just, I don't know. Cause I'm big on FaceTiming on Messenger and stuff like that. And everybody's just like the Zoom call, but like, but we both have Messenger, but you know, whatever, it's whatever anybody wants to use, whatever format that they want to use. So,
I've done FaceTime with you.
And as we're sitting here, like chatting on Messenger or something like that about doing a Zoom call, I'm like, well, I'll just call now. You know, mm-hmm. it's one of those things though. That's just what we do now. It's just the platform that we use.
Yeah. Yeah, Daniel's been doing a lot of it. Yeah, I know you've been doing Zoom meetings constantly as you've been getting ready for the trolley stuff.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, you know, I would have like sometimes almost 10 a week different Zoom meetings and stuff with business people around the world and stuff, trying to learn, you know, get information, different things like that. You know, a year ago or so, I wouldn't have thought about doing a Zoom meeting hardly. I'd done like 3 up until that time.
How's the trolley coming along? How's the trolley coming along?
It is done, and I'm, you know, out working it every day.
Oh.
I'm out 6 days a week with it.
Oh, great. That's awesome.
Yeah, you've got to watch his Instagram, Jason. It is awesome. His posts are just legendary. Yeah, he does lots of cool posts from the trolley and all. It's fun. It's definitely
cool.
Entertaining. But, yeah, I'm dying to go visit it. I can't wait to get past the convention so maybe I can shoot down to Tennessee and see the dark one down in Tennessee.
Let me know when you do that. We can probably meet down there.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Do a little dark style hanging out.
Well, then you'll have to go turn left and come see me afterwards.
Yeah. Well, hey, but you and Daniel are down there together in Tennessee. So if we come down there, then maybe we can get the whole gang together. You know, so
right, that would be
might
awesome.
Might work out.
Imagine
you're
cool. Invades Tennessee. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. Oh,
Daniel
man, that'd
be
too
middle,
much.
Sort of.
Yeah, and yeah, well, if Jason comes, he could definitely bring his goth sloth with him, the famous goth sloth that everybody loves at the shows.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He was out with me tonight.
I saw the picture.
I had a management meeting tonight, and I can't really go into details about a lot of it, but there may be a tour in the fall.
Yes.
An actual acoustic tour. So that's actually the solo acoustic stuff is actually taken off. Me and a buddy of mine from the group The Crosswalks are going to hit the road for a little bit and see what, you know, different places. It was shocking to me how surprising how easy it was for me to. I've never been on tour by myself. I've been only on tour with bands, so this will be a whole new aspect for me. But I think me and him are going to hook up and hit the road for a little bit this fall and do some shows together. So it should be a lot of fun.
Well, y'all
get
come down here for the Rancid concert and stuff.
Yeah, oh,
yeah,
definitely.
Yeah.
You know, we'll talk about it more in Imaginarium and stuff, and I will tell my management about it, or, well, the booking agent who's actually doing it. It sounds like it's going to be, like, a lot of fun, and it's definitely a mix-match kind of deal. He's more, I guess the term I would use, like, river folk kind of a deal. And then, of course, I have my darker side of things that I do, so it's almost like an odd couple tour. But you know, it's a good variety of music and good storytelling, and that's what the acoustic realm of music for me is all about, is you get to strip down and strip all the loud guitars and loud drums and everything away and actually know what the song's about and the lyrics and everything. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. And with somebody like you, though, you could turn that into something. Like I said, you know, you're a very multifaceted fellow. You're immensely entertaining on your anything you do, video wise, live streaming wise, and yeah, you'll be able to do some stuff right alongside your tour, making use of some of that stuff, like episodic things or live streaming and things like that to kind of, you know, get even more out of the tour, I think, than some people might be able to. And I'm sure you're planning some of that stuff too.
Oh, yes. I'm planning on actually bringing the Life as I Show It show back around the same time, probably this fall. Instead of Facebook, it'll be on Instagram. And then mm-hmm. me and Hippie Head, we have a podcast vlog show that we're actually going to bring back. It's what we were doing for the radio station. And we wanted to take it over into our own format. You know, at the radio station, we were playing music in between, like, you know, 3 to 5 minute segments of me and him doing. We were like, why don't we just do a podcast kind of deal that's just a comedy show? Just us discussing uh-huh. everything, everyday topics that fall under the radar, like, you know, the guy who got ate by a bear in Jellystone National Park, just whatever we can find on the internet and talk about it. And we've been shooting around the idea for about a year, year and a half, and it's his show, he finally got everything, so he's got the cameras, the multi-camera angles, and he's got the website up and all that stuff. So in the past couple of weeks, man, I went from not doing anything, literally I've been focused on remodeling my house, to everything just jumping at me and being thrown at me at once, and it's been exhausting, especially when you've been pretty much on vacation for a year and not able to do anything. It's like, okay, what am I doing? So, because mm-hmm. I wasn't planning on doing anything for a while, and in the past couple months that I've had have been pretty rough for me personally. So it is kind of cool to see that things are kind of just picking back up on their own. I'm not really actually mm-hmm. forcing the work or anything. It's just kind of coming back around. It's like, okay, everything's opening up. It's time to do things again. Who do we get? And then they call me. So that, to me, shows that even a year of the weirdest year, I think, that we all have had in modern history, I've made an impact in the years that I've been doing this to be able to be remembered. So that's always really cool.
Yeah, well, I figured they'd be getting a hold of you and stirring you up now that things are rolling forward again. Definitely. I mean, it's like, yeah, you're kind of like the goth renaissance person.
I'm hoping to get a new video out, you know, and the film aspect of everything. It's the only thing that I haven't gotten locked down right now. I am working on it. We're, me and Herschel are in, he's a busy, busy, busy man right now, but, we're supposed to, I think, be shooting a new video sometime in July. So July shakes
awesome.
Up to being, I have something every weekend to do. You know, every week I got something
wow.
different that I'm doing in July. So, yeah.
Boy.
July picked up out of nowhere.
Well, that's good. That's my birthday month, so that's extra special. So that's awesome.
Hell yeah.
I hope that lots of positive vibes. But, yeah, Herschel's, yeah, he is something else. And, yeah, folks, if you have ever seen Herschel's work, I mean, it is just awesome. And I know that Jay is part of your, yeah, you guys are, you know, have a very good team together. You know, of course, recently, not too long ago, we had Sean Burton Saunders on the show. So you all got to meet him and hear from him a little bit, but yeah, this is a part of that group, you know, Herschel's on, David Waite, you, Sean, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of talent concentrated there, and it's a scary level of talent at this point. So, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's
seeing what happens.
We throw around a lot of stuff. Hopefully we can bust out a feature this year, or at least started to work on one. Everybody's got ideas. There's a bunch of stuff, especially anybody that's listening that's a filmmaker will understand, you know, it's like, you take a bunch of ideas and you throw them up against the wall, and the one that actually sticks, you do. So it doesn't mean that the other ideas aren't good. It just means that this one is the one that actually takes off, or this one is the one that's feasible to do at this time. Filmmaking as a whole is a crazy world when it comes to it, because nobody realizes how much a film costs, and you have to have a budget for everything. And and it's hard. It's difficult. I mean, I got a lot of tentative film ideas and scripts that I've written over the past year, and it's just really hard to get them to take off. You know, I thought albums were hard to do, but it movies are really, really hard to do. So albums are just second nature for me. I call my producer and my engineer up, and I'm like, hey, I'm ready to record. And it's about, that's pretty much all it takes. Herschel, I got so much respect for him, because he is really the guy that pulls it all together. You know, I'll come to him with a video idea. I'm like, I want to do this. And then he just goes off and makes it happen somehow. the main thing I have to worry about is what makeup I'm going to wear, what clothes I'm going to wear, and how I want whatever gore or whatever I want to put into the video is going to work. I get to worry about being an actor from that point. So.
Right. Yeah, Herschel is so fun, and I love him not just because he has a Z last name, so I don't feel so alone when I'm around Herschel. but God, man, I mean, he's always going to some of the coolest places. Like recently when we were coordinating with him to get some info for Imaginarium, because he's going to be a spotlighted guest there. Yeah, he was down shooting in Dominica. In the Caribbean, so he's always up to something crazy and fun, and a lot of people that may remember last spring, when everybody's locked down, he started doing live streams of doing like show tunes and stuff. I mean, almost like a Broadway kind of musical theater kind of thing and I never even knew that he was that good of a singer and performer. I mean, I knew him as, filmmaker, artist, screenwriter, all those other production wizard, all those things. But then seeing him as a performer was like, whoa. I mean, that about knocked me over when I got to see that dimension of him. So, yeah, you guys have a knack for being multifaceted, your whole group. I mean, it's just blows me away. And, of course, Sean Burton Saunders has a knack for having lens flares in his live streams that look like just exotic special effects. But you guys are – it's crazy, man. I mean, it's very multi-talented, each person in the group. And, that's one thing I've noticed about your group in particular. And, you bring a lot to the table within each person. And so, it's a pretty formidable when you guys all come together. So July is, I'm looking forward to seeing what you guys cook up. That's going to be awesome.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be a cool month. And it all starts with Imaginarium. I've kind of like made Imaginarium my kickoff point to everything going on. So it will literally be the first thing that I've done.
Honored
in all this time and everything, and I'm honored to be able to be a part of it. It's like I said before, it is something that I really, really believe in, and I'm very happy to be part of the Imaginarium family and years to come to see where we build this thing and where you all take it to, and however I can help and be part of it, I'm totally down, because it's something that I, the first year that I did it, I didn't know really what to expect, because it is a different type of convention, and because I'm a convention kid, and I go to all the horror conventions and everything like that, and Imaginarium was something a little bit different, but what I took from it is something a little bit more special. It's a bunch of like-minded people that just come in to do something fun, enjoy each other's company, and it truly is about the independent creative mind. And that I really appreciate, because you don't have a bunch of just photo ops and all kinds of stuff. I got to take in a few panels. I get to learn different things, something that I'm very into learning, that I am it's not something in my wide variety of things that I do, which is the literary world. And it's something I've always wanted to be part of, and not knowing how to get there or being at a standstill with it for a very long time, Imaginarium actually helped open my eyes to how I'm able to do it in a whole new world for me to be in. So, and I like the fact that, well, I love the fact that Imaginarium has went from that point to branching out into film and into music and into art and bridging the gap in between all the creative realms, because that's what we need to do, because art is art regardless of what it is. And I think if we all band together, then it's just going to be bigger, and it's more for everybody, because everybody listens to music, everybody likes a good story, everybody reads, everybody likes art, mm-hmm. everybody watches movies. So I mean, it's kind of why it hasn't been done up until like Imaginarium putting it all together for the independent creative is beyond me, but I'm very glad that it is you all and that I am part of it.
Well, we're glad to have you, and definitely our particular show, I mean, it's not about egos and autographs. I mean, it's definitely about the content, camaraderie, and bringing together kind of cross-medium kind of vibe kind of thing, you know, where we're, like you said, yeah, we want to bring the different types of storytellers together and get that synergy across platforms, where somebody like, you know, Rose, who, you know, is a filmmaker, you know, who is an author, who is a model, who has got a production company, is going to meet a Jason who, you know, is an artist, a poet, a filmmaker, a musician, and, you know, or Daniel Dark, who's an entrepreneur, an author, and, you know, definitely, you know, and, you know, also an artist in the food world. Don't forget, Daniel Dark is, you know, he's a chef. So, you know, somebody like him, somebody like me, you know, who, you know, I enjoy working in multiple, you know, type media. And so, yeah, it's that kind of synergy. And that's what, you know, this, our theme is kind of centered on. And then, yeah, I mean, we want to grow bigger, sure. But yeah, it's always got to keep the same vibe and heart and be very welcoming so that the newcomer, the person that's getting their first album out or first short film out or first book out, feels just as comfortable coming in and talking with the New York Times bestselling author, the touring musician, the feature filmmaker, you know, somebody like Herschel, you know, I mean, so, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, it's definitely, you know, it's a good environment for all levels to interact. And that's what it's about. That's where the magic happens, you know, and that's what I'm certainly going to do my best to protect and nurture. But,
exactly. And I like the fact that, the panels were like interchanging. Like, you don't keep the exact same panels every year and you come up with different ideas for it. Like, the one that stuck out to me was like having something with mental illness and the creative world and everything. And, you know, as for me, every bit of me, my life goes into every aspect of what I do, whether it be film, whether it be music or just poetry or even art. And I pour every bit of my life experience and what I go through into what I do, and which does stem from depression and battles that I fight every day and stuff like that. So it's nice to see that, and you wouldn't get that from a convention unless it was put on by artists, unless it was put on by creative people, because they understand that that's where most artists dwell, is in some type of whether it be life experience, depression, self-anguish, or whatever. And that's one of the panels that really stuck out to me when I was going through like the panels list. I was like, I want to do this, because if I can help somebody through their problem, great. If I can help another creative mind focus that either negative energy or whatever it may be into creating a good work of art and something positive come out of it, then they go on to help somebody else, or they go on to do that. And that, to me, is what being a creative mind is all about. You know, yes, you want to tell a good story, and yes, you want to make the best product that you put out possible, but you needed to reach your audience, and you wanted to help them learn or to help them through their mind. So, you know, whether it's somebody that has some battles with depression or whatever, and they can lose themselves in a book, or they can lose themselves in a song or something like that. That is such a big important part of what we all do, And sometimes I think we forget that because it's just about what our story is and our vision is and everything. But I like to also get into the mind of the consumer or the person that is actually partaking in my the thing that I create. And I don't know. It's just something that it really stuck out to me, and I was very appreciative of that was actually on the list.
Oh, sure. And then, yeah, we're always going to want to have a comprehensive, very well-rounded type of programming for that precise reason. You know, it's not just about the craft. It's not just about the industry, things like that. It's also about your life and how you know, your life as a creative. Because, I mean, let's face it, you know, for a lot of indie creatives, you know, go through a lot of soul-crushing moments on your path. And, you know, and definitely, you know, we can all relate to each other on things like that and battles, like you said, with depression, that type of thing, the creative process. The things that are part of the life of the creative. And that is every bit as important, I think, and I think, you know, I'm hearing you agree with that definitely. And I'm sure Rose Daniel feels similar, but it's good to have that balance between all those areas if you're going to have, you know, a comprehensive programming offering, you know, to have all those spheres covered, you know, so that, you come out of it and hopefully at the end you've, you know, been enriched, you know, in all those spheres.
Hey, Jason.
Yeah.
I just thought of something. When you come down here, if you would be interested in it, I'll try to get you with the White Rabbit and see, because he's gone out on his own now.
Uh-huh.
And he lives in Nashville. Do you know
That's
who I'm
cool.
talking about?
Yeah.
And, you know, he's doing new stuff. And, you know, don't know whether there's a collaboration there or not, but, you know, maybe there could be.
I'm always up for a collaboration with anyone. It's always that's honestly how me and her show ended up getting mixed in together.
But
so,
everything, you know,
yeah,
wouldn't hurt any.
Oh, no, not at all.
No, that'd be awesome.
So,
that'd be awesome, Daniel.
That would be. That would be excellent.
That's cool.
So
thanks, Daniel.
Yeah. A lot.
So
do you all have any new things coming out?
Oh. Well, Rose had something to say there. Hold on, Rose. Go ahead.
Yeah, I had a question. Out of everything that you are doing, it's a two-part question. So out of everything that you are doing, what is your absolute always drawn to, like, the most? And then do you ever cross-promote each of your individualized work together into one thing?
Okay. I would have to say music would be where my main focus is because, if one, it's something that I fully, for lack of a better word, control. I've been doing music professionally since I was 16 years old. And so it's always stuck with me. It's weird to say it. It came to the point in my life, and I've done it for so long, that it's not something that I actually enjoy. It's more of something that I do. It's something that's just that I've become. It's something that I have to do. I have to write. I have to write songs. I have to express my life through song, which then branches out towards the poetry, because every song for me starts out as a poem. And so that's where the poetry aspect and the writing aspect comes into it. When it comes to film, most films that I've been involved in, my music is part of those films. And then my videos I take, and they're pretty much like short films instead of videos. That was my approach to it. I'm really influenced video-wise from, like, the stuff Michael Jackson used to do with, like, Thriller being so groundbreaking. 30 Seconds to Mars,
oh, yeah.
Jared Leto's band, what he does, most of the, and he's a Hollywood actor, so most of those videos are little short films. We did the Lost in Time video, which is based off of Lewis Carroll's Alice in Wonderland, and it was kind of me giving the middle finger to Disney for screwing up the story. Because the story itself is really dark, and they really Disney'd it up,
yeah,
like they do everything, and you know, because they ruined,
yeah,
Star Wars. But
nice,
you know. But so yes, and as it comes across promotion and everything that I do, we say that Jason does. You know, I do this, I do that. I'm multifaceted and everything. It kind of comes into what I've been doing with my home, which I call Hallowed Hills. Where I live at, because I wanted to kind of create. I'm an introvert, 100%. I'm not the most social person. I might have grew up playing in bars and stuff like that, and clubs, and living the rock and roll lifestyle sort of. I've always had to be the businessman, so it doesn't sound as fascinating as you would think. I've had my party life, but nevertheless, I had to stay sober enough to be able to conduct business. But
right.
I was just sitting around one day, and the past couple of months, like I mentioned before, have been really, really, really bad for me. And I was pretty much retired. I was pretty much done. I gave up on everything. And I needed something to spark some type of interest. So I was like, okay, well, I've been wanting to do this. So I started renovating my house into the way that I want it to be. And so a lot of that is partaken from my love for stage shows. So my house at this point is starting to look like a stage show. Every room, which is comes back into the life as I show it coming back whenever I get done with all this, I'll be able to do it from my home/studio and have different backgrounds. I was on the phone with Holly and Steven the other day. I got the two baths, the guest bathroom and then my main bathroom done. One in Ouija
look
boards,
awesome.
the other one is
look
done
awesome.
In crows, and I did the ink blot test, put all those in frames all over the wall. I'm doing my master bedroom in Universal Monsters, because that's my favorite area of film. I have the vault, which is my horror collection that I have, and then my actual studio is going to be done pretty much in, like, Halloween, Plague Doctors, all this stuff. So I wanted to make my home just as much a part of my art as it could be. And it's given me a lot of influence. And, so it was almost like I took this home, and I've been here for, I don't know, 8 years, maybe 10 years in this house. I've never hung one picture on a wall. And, so I never really did make it a home. It was just some place that I lived. So it was kind of like, okay, well, I'm going to get up, I'm bored, I'm going to do this. And it helped me out through a whole lot of depression a lot. So, yes, to answer the question, yes, I pretty much take everything that I do and just kind of put it in a big pot like gumbo or a stew. And it's all just one thing, really. It really is. It's from film to music to art and everything. It's all just one thing.
Yeah, and I must say, yeah, your remodeling just looks awesome. I mean, I know Holly. You know, of course, she's like a kindred spirit with you in the goth sense, and yeah, she was just going crazy over stuff you were showing us. It looks so cool, man. Yeah, great job. And
I'm kind of a hoarder,
yeah.
But I'm like a hoarder of really cool stuff. Like, it's not like,
yeah,
I don't collect trash.
No kidding. Right.
But, you know, but I do have a whole lot of stuff. And the whole house is just full of, you know, stuff on the floor, boxes on the floor and stuff that I've gathered over many, 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 many years. And I never really actually got a chance to really display it the way I want it to, because I've always just, I keep myself so busy. And that was another thing that the past year let me actually do. I got to sort through it and go through it and everything. And then about a month ago or a month and a half ago, I was just like, well, it's time to do this. Because this is what I've been hoarding it all for, was to actually build this vision that I had in my head of my own home. So Yeah, and it's taken off really, really good, and it's given me a lot of really good ideas. And surprisingly enough, Ivan Moody, I was watching a live stream that hit Ivan Moody from Five Finger Death Punch. He was talking about every album that they do, he remodels his home differently and for inspiration. And I watched this as I began doing what I'm doing, and I was like, huh. And there's a lot of truth to it, because your surroundings are going to – you're going to feed off the surroundings that you're around. So
right.
I think
yeah.
It's actually been a big part of the help to pull me out of this dark, dark place that I've been in, and plus get me back into work mode again out of the pandemic and everything.
Very cool. Well, yeah, well, thanks for sharing
yeah,
that.
It is hard
yeah,
to get
I know.
Sort on things.
Yeah, yeah.
What was that?
I said it is hard to get a fresh start on things after all the shutdown and emotional shutdown and physical shutdown and financial shutdown and all the shutdowns and letdowns.
Oh, yeah. A lot of letdowns. Whatever happened, everything that happened in 2020 impacted everyone's life so negatively. I mean, there's positive aspects that came about it. You know, like I said, with people really learning the virtual world, and that helped us stay connected, and we learned how to stay connected in a different way. But it did take away the human nature of being social creatures and a hug. Nobody knows how important a hug is, or seeing somebody's facial expressions when they talk. Like, I mean, talking to somebody wearing a mask the full time is like trying to decipher what somebody or somebody's emotions in a text. And that's really sad. I learned a lot with my dad being in the hospital, and I pretty much lived in the hospital for 2 months straight with him. I said something to somebody. They were asking me how I was doing everything. I was like, I've learned how to be able to smile with my eyes. And because I had to wear a mask around him. And when I was in the room and sleeping in a chair, wearing a mask sucks. But, you know, it was a whole new thing for me. And it had its positive moments, but I don't think anybody can take away that this past year has had a negative impact on everybody. And that's what it was supposed to do, whatever aspect of the pandemic that you believe, the theories and all that stuff, no matter what, it affected everyone in a negative way. And not just because we were locked down. I mean, it's affected our lives in a negative way, from relationships severed to the animosity that everybody experienced throughout the year. And, I mean, I have friends now that I'll probably never talk to again, you know, just because of the heightened sense of bullcrap that everybody went through. So hopefully a lot of wounds can be mended in the upcoming months, and a lot of things can go back to normal, and we might be able to get back to a place we were before all this happened.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think it will. I do, and I think that as we resume activity again, it's going to really accelerate that just a bit. And yeah, we got to keep fighting forward here and fight the good fight. But you've really got a lot in the fire here, because the last time you were on the show, we were talking about a little bit, and I know that it's not. Definitely something that you have put aside, but yeah, you even talking about developing a really cool poetry presentation, like a book, at some point too. I know that's on one of your burners.
Oh yes, I've been wrestling around with it for years. I mean, it's pretty much the poetry part of it is written. It gets written anytime I sit down, you know, with a pen. But I'm still a pen to paper kind of person. It's just how I do things.
Uh-huh.
But recently I started starting in therapy, and one of the things and I knew it was coming. I mean, like pretty much when me and my therapist talked, it's like, yeah, I know. She knows that what she's telling me, I already know at this point. It's kind of like a discussion of how I need, not what I need to do, but how I need to do what I need to do to get there. And one of her big suggestions was writing a journal, keeping a journal. I've never kept a journal. I'm like, you know, most of the time my journal has been writing my songs and releasing things that way and stuff like that. I've released things through my work. And so I was like, you know what? I've always put nothing but myself stripped down into my music and what I do. Even the music videos, there is a portrayal of me in that, like the music video Broken Wing that we did has the girl walk through the woods and then she coughs up a bunch of blood and then hangs herself. It is literally a metaphoric piece of when I got diagnosed with COPD and I coughed up blood the first time. And just my mindset of giving up and everything and where I went to in the beginning of that and, you know, having to learn how to cope with living life with a disease and everything. And so I was like, well, you know what? If I'm going to do this, I'm going to have to keep a journal. I'm going to do it my way. So hopefully at the end of this, the journal will be part of the book, and it will be a book of just the story of overcoming things and overcoming the battles that your mind puts you through, along with the poetry to go along with it. So, and I was like, so, because, I mean, getting me to sit down and write a journal, it wasn't going to happen unless I had a purpose. So I put purpose behind it to make myself get better.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that project especially. And, of course, yeah, I'm definitely available to help you as you put that one together.
Oh, you're definitely going to be my right-hand man to contact, because I know going along with it, I'm like, how do I do this? I don't know what I'm doing. Because I don't. I mean, you know, that's why I enjoy it so much. And throw back to Imaginary, why I enjoy that so much. Because not only is it a really cool convention for creatives, it is also somewhere for somebody like me who is interested in all spectrums of it, can learn something new.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you understand the importance, and we've talked about it a little bit before, and I'd like, love, Rose can even dive in here, because she was talking about earlier in regard to her film, but you know the importance of putting together, you know, a group, a creative group around you that you can trust and work with and that you have a good chemistry with. Certainly you've got that. I know Rose has got a group down in, you know, where she is. She does that, you know, to get to all of us together on another sphere. We've got that together. I mean, but yeah, having that, as Holly calls it, you know, often the tribe is a very important aspect. And yeah, getting the folks together that can help you in areas where, you know, you may not be an expert yet. And that's a big part of it. And you've, yeah, done a good job of assembling that around you.
Yeah, we all first got together on the Lost in Time video shoot when Sean came in as a producer. It was the first time he produced something that I had to do with. And Dave Waite ended up showing up on set one day and just kind of like being a grip. And from there, you know, we've done things with him acting and directing, because he's a great actor. And somehow we evolved into what we do, and over the past couple months we evolved into golfers. So now my little crew of people, we go out and play golf. They're all better than me. I don't know what I'm doing. I am now the gothic golfer. And it was just something that, and it, I found it, and I always make fun of people that play golf because it looks stupid, but it is very relaxing. And we went out there, and the first time we went out, we were drinking some beers and riding around in golf carts trying to find our balls. That's literally what we did. Like, I don't know how many times you can hear four grown men saying, have you seen my ball? Anybody know where my ball's at? I was like, we're changing the name of this game to Find the Ball. That's it.
Find the ball.
Because we all are really bad at this.
Well, I have to say, I almost fell off my chair when I saw the picture on Facebook that had you and Sean and Herschel, everybody together. I was like, oh, my God. Now, that's a golf group. That day especially, the
funniest thing happened. So we're sitting there, and all of us have teed off, and we're all playing Find the Ball. And I'm like, everybody's balls are in another direction. So I think Herschel had the golf cart that I was in. So I was like, screw this. So I just started walking down the green. And so they're dressed in shorts and polo shirts and everything else. I'm wearing jeans and a Michael Myers T-shirt, a Halloween T-shirt.
Classic.
And the sun's blazing. When I see this golf cart come up, and this girl's sitting in it with, like, little short golf skirt on,
mm-hmm.
polo shirt, and a little visor. And she's like,
yeah.
Is that my ball? And I was like, no, this is mine. Okay, and I picked it up, my shoulder. I was like, see, it says fuck on it? Yeah. I'm about the only person out here that's probably writing obscene stuff on their balls. And I dropped it down. And then her boyfriend, who definitely went to prep school, walks up, and he kind of looks me up and down and everything. And was like, look, I know I don't fit in here at all. But, you know, whatever. So it was just a very odd experience because they were looking at me like I was the weirdest thing that they had ever seen in their life. So I was like, what? This is my golf attire here.
That is your
like, I don't own
attire.
Shorts and polo shirts, man. I own horror T-shirts and black. I mean, you better be glad I'm not wearing my rock and roll jeans or anything. This is my relaxed fit. So.
Yeah, if I saw you in a polo shirt with a visor, I think I'd enter the Twilight Zone. That would be it.
Yeah, well, most of the time, those three, they go out in kilts. They all bought kilts. And that's how they go out to the golf courses wearing kilts. And they were like, we got to get you a kilt. I was like, no, we know. No, we're not. Not happening.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Oh, God. Saunders
is too
much.
I got chicken legs. I got very scrawny chicken legs. There's a reason why I don't wear shorts. So.
Oh, man.
More power to y'all.
That is too funny. Too funny. Oh, the things we miss, Rose and Daniel. I tell you, this would be an epic moment if we saw this in person.
Oh, no. Living it was enough. When I saw the golf cart start pulling up with the girl on it, I was just like, oh, God, here we go. Yeah, and then there would be guys coming up on whatever we were on, whatever hole we were on, and we'd all three look at him like, go ahead and play through. You're going to be far more along than we are. Go ahead.
Yeah, do it. That's too cool. Well, Jason, we're coming up in about 3 minutes on our over. We went a few minutes past the live show so that we could make sure we got some time in with you. We always
appreciate
to get
it.
Every,
I'm so sorry. I was late.
Oh, no. Every guest, though, we want to make sure we give you a chance to tell folks where to find you online if they're encountering you for the first time tonight. So to give us your links and all that good stuff.
Right now, you can find me Jason William Allen, JYSON William Allen on Instagram, and you can go to JWATV on YouTube. And that's
awesome.
My main two platforms that I'm really, one on one with everybody, pretty much. So yeah, find me there.
Fantastic. Well, Daniel and Rose, is there anything else you want to cover with Jay real quick? We got about 2.5 minutes left, or otherwise, yeah, you guys can go ahead and take us out here.
I definitely can't wait to meet you next month at Imaginarium.
Oh, it's going to be a blast. I'm getting a room. We're partying that weekend. We are totally thrown down. I'm bringing the rock star atmosphere over to the convention. So, I mean, you know, I'll let my room number be known and be like, let's just do a kegger.
Too fun. Daniel.
Well, it's always great to hear from you, Jason. You know, I wish I could be at Imaginarium this year. I'll be missing y'all. But, hopefully we can catch up, you know, sometime soon.
Oh, definitely, man. And I will definitely be in contact with you to get you in contact with the manager that I'm working with for this tour. And maybe me and Hippie Head can roll through and play a show.
Sounds good, man.
Wow.
Awesome. If nothing else, y'all can come up on the trolley and everything. Do a little jam session and everything and do some video.
Definitely, man. I'll be totally down for it. Even if it is something like that, I'm definitely hitting the Tennessee area with this tour. So, cause I think that's going to be our direction is going south. So.
Nice.
Very cool.
Definitely.
Very cool. Well, thanks for joining us tonight, Jay. And you take care, and we are going to have you back sooner than later and definitely going to be seeing the Imaginarium. But, yeah, right now we're going to have to say goodnight because the time is running out here. But we'll be back next Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern, for another Star Chamber show. Over to you, Rose and Daniel, and you guys can take us out.
I've had a blast tonight. It was a pleasure meeting Jason and getting to chat with Steven and Daniel again. I've missed you guys, and I can't wait to meet everybody up at Imaginarium. I know I won't get to see you, Daniel, and I'll be sad. But
yeah, it just came up that I've got to make money that weekend instead of coming and playing.
Right.
Which I enjoy doing a whole lot, but yeah. But money has to come first this year.
Yes, yes, heard that.
But everybody, we've had Jason on here tonight talking about music, talking about poetry, talking about movies. And there's nothing out there that you cannot do if you've got the passion to do it. And y'all can follow me and the trolley and everything on Instagram under gentlemen_cigars and see what I'm doing every day. And hopefully y'all will join in with us again next week under Blog Talk Radio, the Star Chamber. Shall we see you again? Have a good week. Be creative.